Viceland episode 4, Jason Weisenberg.
Michael Weisenberg.
What are we talking about today?
We are going to be delving into some of the best players to have never made an All-Star game. So we went with the worst of the best for some of the worst players to have made an All-Star game to a few players that we feel were just on the precipice, had a chance, but got knocked out by likely a perennial All-Star or somebody having a slightly better season or possibly being on a team with a few other stars.
It happens. It happens to some great players. And, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. Just before we start, we want to thank everybody for giving us good reviews so far. Anybody that's rated or reviewed our podcast or watched, we really appreciate it. We did receive one two-star review, and I wanted to delve into that for just a second. I really hate people talking about bad reviews, but the thing is, I strive off of constructive criticism. The person who reviewed our podcast wanted something that I think was like a version of Miss Cleo doing a basketball podcast, and if you find something where you find whatever it is you're looking for before you even know it, show us the way. We would love to be that or find that. Right now, I love a lot of podcasts, but none of them have necessarily read my mind. So yeah, that's just some food for thought.
Once we get going, we get the R&D going, maybe we can think about it. But any of those kind of things, you can always email us at viselandpod.com and you...
Yeah, absolutely.
Viselandpod@gmail.com, and we will take a look at that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I know we've joked about not taking suggestions. We're very open.
We're super. We're insanely open.
Yeah, we love constructive criticism, but very much appreciate everybody who's listened. Absolutely appreciate the positive vibes that are coming out. And if you have something constructive, we're all ears.
But that Rajon Rondo, on the other hand, he was
yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Just a few things. My guy's standards were way too high. But yeah, if he did find that podcast, send it our way.
Plus up. Yeah.
Yeah. So to go on, we will start. I did this list just by. It's a tough list to rank. So I did it by a statistic called value over replacement player. And, it's a statistic that some people use. So I just ranked them in accordance to that. We have a couple prerequisites. The player had to have at least played some good years in the NBA. And if they are a current player, then they have to be nearing the downside of their career, so they're less likely
to make it. Yeah, because young guys, you still have your chance.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't have many of those. I think we actually only have one. And when you think about it, it's probably a pretty obvious one. But, yeah, the rest of the list, hopefully we give a few surprises and definitely some great names to look over. And, the first one off the bat, go and check out his YouTube footage. He is known as one of the great European players of all time. Unfortunately, passed away at a very young age. It's Drazen Petrovic. And he only played a few years in the NBA. His last year, he was 28. He was averaging 22.3 points per game for the New Jersey Nets, where he played most of his career. Started his career with the Portland Trail Blazers. I was looking at his old statistics, Jason, and his per minute numbers were just a fascinating case study.
Oh, the Blazers didn't give him the proper run he deserved, and I think he was just getting to that point in New Jersey, where he was really proving that he could be that all-star guy. And again, this was at the time where there were so few European players in the league. I think they kind of did have that negative stigma. I think that's what affected him at the time. But now I think when we look back on Drazen and his legacy, I think in today's NBA, he would make an all-star team.
Yeah. It was, if his career was long enough, I absolutely believe so. a player well ahead of his time. He shot 43.7% from three-point range for his career. As a rookie, he was playing 12.6 minutes per game, averaged 7.6 points per game. Like, just absurd. And, yeah, like, obviously score off the bench, but did so much more than that. Magician with the basketball. Made
some today's game is so suited for him, you know, and his abilities. And so that's why, like, the legacy he's created. But, yeah,
like that skill level was just unheard of. So, yeah, a player that I definitely wanted to put on the list and think that most people would agree that he's one of the better players ever to have not made an All-Star game.
And also one of the best throwback jerseys whenever you see it out there, because you do see it every once in a while.
Absolutely. And the other thing, if you get a chance to watch the 30 for 30 Once Brothers featuring Drazen and Vlade Divac, definitely give it a watch. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Drazen Petrovic, a player that we're happy to focus on here. And, yeah, just somebody who went well before his time. And a very, like, just interesting NBA career. Came in as a 25-year-old rookie. Portland actually made the NBA Finals with Drazen. If they would have played, like, a small ball lineup, they had some options there that would have been very intriguing. But
yeah, just such a thing they didn't Drazen do at that time, you know.
What were you saying?
It's just a thing they didn't do at that time. Like, it just wasn't,
Yeah. It wasn't. Like,
And again, like the volume of 3-point baskets that are shot nowadays, you know, it's so like that's why like he's the perfect, you know, 3-2-3 kind of guy right now.
Yeah. And when his volume went up, like the shooting percentage stayed the same.
Yeah, which is like totally awesome.
Yeah. So definitely somebody that we wanted to highlight. The next player in line is a coach that I think many would soon hope to forget. It didn't necessarily get the most positive vibes during his time with the Lakers this last go-around, Byron Scott. Now, when I was looking at Byron Scott's statistics and just checking him out, he did never make an All-Star team, but the last year the Lakers won the NBA championship with Kareem and Magic and James Worthy, Byron Scott actually led the team in scoring during the regular season.
Well, he was a dude that was just the perfect complement for Magic.
Yeah. A really good small ball guard to play with Magic. And like a guy who pretty much had some point guard skills, was point guard size, could shoot.
He had solid years later with Indiana, but in a different kind of role. I'm trying to think like later in his career, but I know with the Lakers, there was that kind of inner tension between, you know, Magic and Byron Scott and James Worthy and Michael, like guys that just want to get out and run and then having to kind of slow down the game, wait for Kareem, feed it back to him in the post. I know that was definitely a controversial thing at that time. Cause you know, paying respect to Kareem later in his career versus doing what Magic was best at, which was just running the ball. But yeah, Byron Scott was just one of those really good players, but yeah, just never had that extra leap. And I think he benefited a lot from being on the Lakers back then too, with Magic.
Oh, absolutely.
He was making a lot of guys
I'm sure that the system is probably one of the main reasons I have him on this list. But yeah, won three rings. And I think Kareem kind of has that to be thankful for, that, you know, they were Showtime. They did do a little bit of running. And, it certainly seemed to suit them and led to a lot of winning in Los Angeles.
Oh totally.
Yeah.
And, like, Byron Scott had, you know, a pretty decent career. I think he was on the expansion Vancouver Grizzlies.
He was.
Which I don't know if that's an honor or just a statement of fact, but
B.J. Armstrong was supposed to be on the Raptors, and they traded him for, like, 700 Golden
State. Yeah, six players and very little who made an impact, but six of them. Yeah.
So this next player, I believe if he's not the only Finals MVP to have never made an All-Star team. He's at least one of them. But he did win a Finals MVP. Cedric Maxwell.
Which is shocking that he didn't make an All-Star team. Because he was, again, Finals MVP and someone that was thought of as one of the better players on those earlier 80s, especially Boston teams. And, you know, he was there for the majority of the run.
Absolutely. And, just like wing forward, very strong. There were a couple years where he led the NBA in 2-point field goal percentage. And, right before Larry got there, they were struggling, but ended up being a great complementary piece to Larry Bird and part of some really good winning teams.
Yeah, and one just gets forgotten. Yeah, like that. Like his most unfortunate thing is he gets forgotten in that shuffle of names of like that Boston, especially the 86 ball, you know, the front court of Parrish, McHale, Bird. I mean, even in I was just rewatching on NBA TV, they had the 87 conference finals with Detroit and Boston. And it's like, even then, they show Walton gets a lot of screen time just because he was such an expressive faced person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, like people don't talk about Cedric Maxwell enough.
Yeah.
How good a player.
By 86, he was actually out of there.
So he was out of the league.
He wasn't on that best team. But yeah, he definitely won some rings and was a very good player in his own right. Anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, again, like, it's one of those things. He was a little ahead of, before my time. I've just, this is based on my reading and research. But, yeah, no, definitely a name that, like, you look him up. And, obviously, once you hear Finals MVP, you think All-Star game. I think, like, when Kawhi won his first, NBA Finals MVP, I thought, like,
yeah, he hadn't been to an All-Star game.
Yeah, because he wasn't there yet because he was still playing.
Wait a minute.
Oh, of course, and now he's Kawhi. But at the time, he was still kind of, Duncan, Ginobili, Parker.
Yeah.
And,
there are players who have won the Finals MVP and not been All-Stars during that season, but just usually it's something that happens during your career.
Yeah.
And with Cedric Maxwell, did not happen, but getting props on the Viseland best players never to make an All-Star team list.
It's better, it's better than the celebrity game.
I think so. The next player was somebody who we had to put on here. He was a player that I really thought was going to be an All-Star and just would hit daggers and just was one of the main terrors of the early aughts, a high draft pick. Many thought that he was going to be the first pick in the draft, but ended up going second to Vancouver, getting traded for Jason Williams. Mike Bibby, never made an All-Star team, was on some really good Sacramento Kings teams, and he nearly sealed the Lakers' fate. Was just somebody that you absolutely wanted the ball in his hands in the clutch.
He's one of those guys I thought he was, like a couple of those series against the Lakers, he was so great that I thought he was going to transition that next regular season, turn that corner, be an All-Star cemented. I forget what, I want to say 2003, I remember, going into that season, like I was in a fantasy league and I remember thinking like, Mike Bibby's going to be my sleeper. I'm going to take him like a little later, but he's going to have that kind of year. And he just ends up playing good, but not All-Star, but definitely solid guy. Look at him now, he's insanely jacked, so he took no All-Star games in stride and hit the weight room.
Absolutely. He's a coaches in high school, was coaching. The thing was, the West was just so full of other point guards.
Definitely during that period there was not a lot of guards that you can get in for, like you think about even like Nash. Was Kid still in the – no, Kid was just moving – Kid was in the West.
Kid was moving conferences, but I think one of the years I looked, he might have
– Yeah, because he was still – before he got traded from Marbury.
Yeah. Bibby was never really known for his defensive prowess, but really good offensive player, was on some really good teams. Like, he was also with Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, like kind of getting more of the love there. As far as all-star bids, But yeah, just a really solid point guard. Won a championship in college as a freshman at Arizona. And yeah, absolutely like ice in his veins. I usually say like, I don't think he was like the best shooter, but because I usually say in clutch situations, you just get the ball to the best shooter. And it seems that good shooter.
Yeah, he was one of those guys.
Usually that, pretty clutch.
Yeah.
He wasn't necessarily like the best shooter, but like I, as a person who isn't big on like the clutch gene, Mike Bibby had it.
Like, oh, totally. And that's why
undeniable.
I'm thinking of like 2001 too, like some of those playoff series against the Lakers, like he was, because like the Lakers didn't really necessarily have like someone to match up with him, you know, as
a man. He had to remember.
Yeah, he was, you know, taking it to him pretty good, but also, you know, an early member of Team Jordan Brand. He was one of those first guys, so he had a lot of cool player edition shoes. And again, I'll say, if you find the Vancouver maybe throwback, that's always, to me, a sign of respect in the street.
Yeah, and now I'm sure Kings fans are still talking about how, like, Kobe Bryant, like, ripped his head off, right? Like, that was one of the major things that happened there. Let's move on to this next player, another player who was part of a number of really good teams, some of the best teams, and very talented player, ahead of his time, had his best years for that, those really good teams, then had was having a very good year for a terrible team, went to a few other teams, just never managed to crack an all-star lineup. I'm talking about Tony Kukoc. 6'11", point forward.
Again,
What were you saying?
A little ahead of his time, you know, between what he can do, you know, like those guys fit in a lot more in the league now.
Yeah. He is a guy who probably could play, you know, one of those combo forward types.
Yeah.
And came off the bench quite a bit for the Bulls when Michael Jordan came back. Was already like a big part of the team once he came over during his rookie season. He was like Drazen Petrovic, a seasoned European pro by that time.
And I think he hit a game-winning shot in the playoffs his rookie year, and somebody else decided to – oh, and Scottie Pippen was like, oh, the ball's going to Tony, so I'm just going to sit this one out.
Yeah. And I'm sure that it was actually part of the strategy. They didn't know who the ball was going to after Scottie Pippen just decided to sit out of the
game. Pippen having an MVP.
He did apologize. Yeah. He did apologize. It didn't make him look good.
Still to this day, you're like, you could have just stood in the corner. I mean, like –
If Scotty was like praying for him to like miss the shot to be like a totaso, fucking a totaso.
But you look at that, you look back at that play too, and it's like they lob it in perfectly. Tony gets it, gets like the perfect amount of spacing, hits the shot. It's like,
yeah,
that's why Phil was Phil, and that's why Tony was Tony. Like, let people do their jobs.
Yeah. You can't really say anything. Phil Jackson got it right. Scotty should have been a decoy on the floor instead. Just left
him. Yeah, on the bench.
It was, I think maybe even Phil Jackson was playing mind games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, this is really how we're going to win. I'm going to make Pippen mad enough to sit this one out. And then they're all going to be like, who's the ball going to? Scotty's not on the floor.
Yeah, no, that's my wonder. It's like, were they looking at it like, why is he not on the floor? He's having a great game and a great year. Like, this is insane.
Their minds were elsewhere.
Something must be happening. But no, Tony Kukoc, like, yeah, just the kind of thing for All-Star. It's like Eastern Conference, you know, is pretty forward heavy. And again, like, he's the fourth fiddle on those Bulls teams, you know, after Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. And even Rodman, I'm not sure if Rodman made every All-Star team in Chicago.
I'm not sure Rodman made an All-Star team in Chicago. That's just what I'm looking up now.
And yeah, because I know he had it, like, in Detroit, he had a couple.
Yeah. It's just kind of amazing because Detroit, when they had Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups all on the All-Star team, their team was not even close to as good as Chicago, who still gets Michael Jordan, Scottie.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. So Rodman, 90-92. So he never made the All-Star team after, you know, those earlier days in Detroit. So it's like, if Rodman's not making it, like, yeah, Kukoc is, you know,
Yeah, you would think with some of the guys who made the All-Star team during that time, Tony probably could have definitely campaigned for a spot, especially with the Bulls being 72-10.
Oh, totally. You look at the 73-9 Warrior, you're like, yeah. Who on that team didn't make the All-Star team?
Pretty much.
You know, it's like...
Yeah, they had a team full of All-Stars. And, yeah, so... The Bulls, 72-10, 69-13 in 96-97. Couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way it is.
I think, yeah, otherwise... I think a great third every start, you know, was good in Chicago, had some good years. I think, like, in Milwaukee later, too.
Yep. Played with Allen Iverson for a bit.
Yeah, nothing wrong with his career. But, yeah, just, you know.
Just didn't get there.
The luck, yeah, luck of the draw.
The next player is the only active player we have on this list. But another guy who every year seems to, you know, be in everybody's thoughts for possibly gaining an All-Star spot. Just too many good point guards in the Western Conference. Too many good guards in the Western Conference. The West is just stacked. And he is somebody that people have a hard time playing against. A really good defender, a good shooter, somebody who's had a great career, definitely made his teams quite a bit better. But, yeah, just has never gotten there, and that's Mike Conley Jr.
Yeah, and, I mean, he was highest paid player in the league for a couple minutes, too. Like, wasn't he, like...
Yeah.
Huge
contract. It certainly didn't hurt his financial statement.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. So it's like, you can...
Okay, let's be real. It did because of how the contracts are made, but he still got paid.
Yeah, he's a guy who's been very well compensated for doing his job. Never done his job poorly. Always been a, you know, took Utah for some good, you know, good playoff, you know, aspirations. Memphis, obviously, like that grind city sort of team. You know, he was that point guard. Yeah, it's hard to say, like, who does he go in over?
Absolutely.
And that's the biggest thing, you know, you kind of get into. It's like, he's having a good year, but you got, I mean, there were some years where Damian Lillard wasn't making it, and he was putting up bigger numbers than Mike Conley. So it's like, he's just kind of that odd man out. I mean, every team has a starting point guard. Every starting point guard can perform at a good level. Only a couple can make the All-Star team. So, yeah, it sucks, and I don't think the window's really there for him to make one.
Yeah. It seems like in Utah, he's definitely not the main guy.
Yeah.
They're wondering how that is even going to work with the team chemistry issues possibly going on there. In Memphis, he had Marc Gasol, too. And, like, you know, Memphis was usually not a team who people were like, oh, they need that second All-Star. If they did, Conley certainly had a shot. But he, yeah, just too many good players.
Yeah, and also Memphis was a good team, but they were never like the exciting good team because they were that grand city that
I mean, people in Memphis probably hate you for saying that.
Oh, they're going to hate me for saying that, but I hate to tell them. I respected what they did, but I wasn't like checking out SportsCenter to see the Grizzlies highlights. Like,
well, now you.
I like Marc Gasol. I like Zach Randolph. I like Mike Conley. Like, these are good players. I just, again, there's something about the Warriors who are chucking up threes and doing things like that. Like, it's hard for a lot of teams to get multiple dudes into All-Star games.
So you're saying you want like seven Warriors on the All-Star team?
I don't, but I think that's what happened. I mean, you look back to the history of the NBA. I mean, you look at that year, the Lakers, like, had the four All-Stars when it was Nick Van Axel, Eddie Jones,
Kobe Bryant,
Kobe, Shaq, and it's like Kobe wasn't
even got voted in.
Yeah, Kobe wasn't even starting for the Lakers and like wasn't at that level yet. You know, like Van Axel, it's like, again, that's also kind of a little on the fringe.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
but they were a good team. They were a good team. They weren't like
that wasn't like their best Bulls
or you know, Warriors. 2016 Warriors good.
Yeah. But. They were a fun team that fans like to see, and that's why like it was a television, like that's the team you watch on Sundays. But yeah, like I like Mike Conley, and again, he's gonna end his career, and he ended up his career with being the best of those Ohio State guys, you know.
Low blow.
With
low blow. How dare you?
Guy by the name of Greg Oden. Yeah.
You know I didn't get my grade 10, Julian.
Yeah. I know, but it's just, I mean, again, not what you would have thought at the time. Not that I didn't think Mike Conley would be a good pro, but it's like, yeah, you thought Greg Oden would be that dude out of that class.
Yeah, injuries happen, but Mike Conley did have a really good career. Probably not going to make an all-star team. There have been players that made it, like, later on. Like, two that come to mind, Anthony Mason, Sam Cassell, made their lone all-star teams, like, you know, into their mid-30s. But
yeah, it's just, it gets hard.
Probably not happening.
Yeah, Western Conference guard.
You've got a different point guard in the Western Conference for his team that he used to play for who will probably make
it. Yeah, like, Jaws coming on like crazy. It's like, I just think, like, point guards, Western Conference, super, super tough to kind of, like, eke out that spot.
Yeah. So this player actually scored his most points during his rookie season. But he certainly got better as a player as time went on. He was one of the better defenders, had a great run where he helped a team to the NBA Finals, and is probably the lone, like, guy who you truly would define as, like, a center or big man on the list. I went with Marcus Camby just because he had a high value over replacement player and had some of those seasons where he was just playing fantastic defense.
Yeah, totally.
You know, made a huge impact in winning. And definitely somebody who I always viewed as like a role guy and is not like, you know, one of those huge snubs or anything like that. But certainly somebody who was in the running for the All-Star team. And maybe if people would have looked at their big men a little bit differently, would have had a chance to make it.
No, yeah, he's a guy, you know, he was picked up, you know, right after Allen Iverson, number two.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of like his career was like good, not great, but he had, like, you know, on Denver, he had a few years where, like, defensively was playing great. And then, yeah, like, I can't think of any teams he wasn't on, but, you know, I know he was like, yeah, Houston, Clippers, Blazers, you know, amongst the Raptors, Denver. It's like he played for a lot of teams, but yeah, he was a very, you know, especially later in his career, he fit that role of that great defensive center.
Yeah. And if, you know, the 96 draft was so stacked. And if you do a redraft, he goes much lower. But he was still a very good, like,
no, oh, totally.
Still quite a valuable player. The Raptors definitely blew it up by, like, drafting Kobe Bryant or, like, Steve Nash or something. But, you know,
again,
Marcus Camby, still yeah, good. Was the 2007 Defensive Player of the Year. And one of the premier rim protectors, shot blockers, and just versatile defenders in the league. A good rebounder, always known as kind of being injury prone and a little skinny, but
he had a long career. He
put together some great years. What were you saying?
He had a long career, you know, for someone who was, he did have his injury issues, but he had a super long career.
Yeah.
And just again, defense, you know, defense specialist versus like two-way big. He kind of had like a weird shooting form. Like he kind of had like that overhead shooting thing that was a little, yeah, a little hitchy.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't look pretty, but it was still a weapon.
No, it was still like, again, like, because in college he was the man. In the NBA, he never like got to assume that role as that go-to guy. But again, he helped a lot of teams during his career. So
yeah.
I'm not shocked that he's never made an All-Star team, but it's, he was, like, very close.
I'm going to go with our next selection. And this player was very fun, filled up a stat sheet, had issues after he retired, even while he was playing, but was very, very versatile. I think he was, like, 6'10", 6'11". 7'4" wingspan, handles like a, you know, New York handles, great passer, terror out in transition, and was a good rebounder as well. So when he was on the floor, he was giving you something on both ends. Lamar Odom, who won a couple championships and was a crucial part of that Lakers team, was on some good Miami Heat teams as well, was at least fun with the Los Angeles Clippers. He is somebody who I think during a couple of those years would have had a chance to make an all-star team, just never did.
Yeah, no, with the Lakers, I mean, yeah, it was really, you know, well, I guess there were four guys on that Lakers championship, because you had, you know, you had Kobe and Lamar on the wings, and then you had Powell in the high post, Bynum in the low post, because Bynum made an all-star team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard to get that fourth guy there. I think Lamar did, because it was kind of a jack of a lot of trades master.
Bynum made one. And I think it was after they had won both their championships.
But he was one of the better centers briefly, very, yeah, very briefly. But like, he was a great, especially the way he played off of Powell. But Lamar was like a jack of a lot of trades, but really didn't master. Like, he wasn't like killer instinct. No Mamba mentality, basically. Like, I think he was good. I never thought like he could have been better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt like he could have been more aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah.
They probably expected more scoring from him. He was more of a facilitator, yeah, and definitely played better when he was with, you know, somebody else kind of running the show. That's why he played so well with a Kobe Bryant.
Well, Kobe yeah, really took him up to a great level.
And he had his best season, I think, during Dwayne Wade's rookie year. And yeah, so he was very good being that, you know, kind of second guy. I think he might have even outscored Dwayne Wade, but I think having Dwayne Wade there and people.
Well, Dwayne Wade kind of came on later as rookie year too. You know, again, it's, yeah, like that kind of gradual pacing for like a lot of guys their rookie year. Yeah, yeah, no, I think Lamar, you know, he goes, obviously, you know, I live in Los Angeles. He's well loved by Laker fans in LA, and yeah, he was a great contributor to those teams.
For sure. And just somebody who gave you like a matchup problem on both ends of the floor. Yeah, he was definitely like a big part of those Lakers championship teams, and very fun player to watch.
Oh, totally.
Not necessarily like the most athletic guy, but moved very well for his size and was so fluid.
Well,
with
just being 6'11" and being able to handle and facilitate. I mean, you still, yeah, don't, you know, you see guys that are 6'11" and can shoot. You don't see as many that can, you know, really kind of, you know, be that kind of point forward, which is like what everyone's kind of looks for. Or a lot of 6'11 guys say they are, but really aren't.
Yeah. And what I was looking, or the first time I saw Lamar Odom, I had heard so much about him in Slam Magazine. And I think he was on the cover even before he was in the NBA. I was watching the McDonald's All-American game. I was so happy we got in Canada because we rarely got.
Never, any- yeah.
Cool basketball stuff. But I remember one play, he's inbounding the ball. There was nobody facing him while he was doing it. He just threw it off their back and scored. And I thought that was clever. I think he almost had like maybe a triple-double, or at least almost had a double-double with points and assists. Had a fun year playing at Rhode Island. I know there were a bunch of eligibility issues for him to even
get. Yeah, he's supposed to go to UNLV. But yeah, like he was a smart player, and he was a triple double threat each game out there.
Yeah, and I thought he seriously was in contention for that top pick. Like, if there was a draft where it was close to as open as it is this year, it might have been 99. And they were talking about a few guys there. Elton Brand was likely the favorite, but you know. The Bulls were interested in Steve Francis. The Bulls were talking with Lamar Odom. Baron Davis ended up going third pick. If you do a redraft, Odom likely goes lower as well, but still had a very, very solid
career. Yeah, had a great career, and he's got those two rings. So,
yes, indeed. This guy has a famous rap song that ends with his name. And can you guess who it is?
I'm guessing it's a Wu-Tang song.
Oh my God.
And I'm guessing it's Rod Strickland in the last lyric of Triumph by the Wu-Tang Clan.
Sickman guaranteed made him jump like Rod Strickland.
Yeah.
Raekwon the Chef. Thank you for our lives.
He was one of those guys. I remember when he was on the Blazers too. He was the dude on the Blazers, you know,
another New York guy.
Yeah.
In theme with Lamar Odom.
Yeah, no, just the New York point guard.
Yeah. Now he's repping for the G League.
Working for the man.
He's doing a very good job there. But he had some really, really solid years and was like the kind of classic point guard that you think of.
Yeah, I think of Washington.
Yeah. I think the Blazers, his last couple of years with the Blazers were two of his best seasons. You look at those All-Star teams, and it's hard to take somebody off and put Rod Strickland on. But the Blazers were getting kind of lambasted out of the first round at that point.
Yeah, and they were kind of laughing, you know, like, or that's when that media image shift of the Blazers in the community was also changing.
Which was pure bullshit. But
In hindsight, yes. But at the time, it was like, obviously, we lived and died.
That's when Fox News got a hold of the Blazers.
Yeah.
But, Rod had some great years. Averaged a double-double when he was with Washington.
He had 98 All-NBA second team. You know, like, it's interesting. You get up to that level, you know, like, All-NBA second team, but you're not making the All-Star team, like,
God damn.
That's a toss. Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah. Like, you think about it in theory, you're like, oh, well, each team is five players. Second team would be the top 10 player. I know it doesn't exactly work like that, but you're just doing rough math in your head, and you're like, well, the All-Star team is 24 guys.
Damn, they usually go by position, too.
Yeah.
Man, maybe I did look at it wrong. Jeez.
No, he has some really good, again, like, he and like, I think, was there, who was...
How were the, what was the record that year? 42 and 40. But, man, he was, numbers-wise that year, he was... So he led the... Yeah, he led the league in assists.
Led the league in assists. I mean, that's
17.8, 10.5. I feel like, you know, his time with the Blazers, he had 18.7, 9.6 his last year, 18.9, 8.8 the year before. Didn't play the whole season. With Washington, his first 2 years, he played closer to a full season. Making the All-NBA second team, probably cooler than making an All-Star team.
All-Star team, yeah. No, yeah. Totally. Because there's a lot of All-Stars in the All-NBA second team.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rod Strickland's definitely very dope point guard, somebody that you should look at on YouTube highlights. And if you get the chance to go back and watch one of his old games, check it out.
Or listen to Triumph by Wu-Tang Clan as well. But also someone I thought was on the up and up as a coach, college coach too, but now he's working the G League. But yeah, he was one of Cal's assistants at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Played for DePaul. And he's around right now. And we are at our last choice of our top 10 players to never make an NBA All-Star team. The horror, I am shattered at some of these players being left off the All-Star team. This player, known for his knee-high socks, Jason Terry, which is another rap lyric by Sean Price. He was, when the Dallas Mavericks won the 2011 NBA championship, I just remember this guy just being, or 2000, sorry. It was 2011 NBA championship. He was an absolute thorn inside of the Miami Heat.
Totally.
Was on the team that got to the finals as well, but finally had a ring of his own. Arizona guard. You could classify him as a combo. Great shooter, but could do a little more than that. And the reason his numbers probably didn't pop off as much as one would think is he was usually on good teams. And in the case of Dallas, you had Dirk Nowitzki.
He was that sixth man for those Dallas teams. Like, he was that guy off the bench.
Yeah.
And right. Again, if he was on your team, you loved him. If he wasn't, you hated him. Like, he was just a very dead-eyed shooter that would really, really hit you where it hurt.
Putting numbers on the board fast. Jason Terry is the last player on our team. The player with the highest value over replacement player for the players I selected as the 10 best players never to make an All-Star team.
Yeah, and, I mean, he got Sixth Man of the Year in 2009.
Yep.
So, you know, he got some accolades. But, yeah, just, you know, playing on the Dallas team, you know, you had Nash, then you had Kidd. Like, there were a lot of other guys who were kind of taking away that thunder for him. But, I mean, yeah, always a great shooter. I mean, he tried a little later in Boston as well. But was still
God. Don't bring up Jason Terry in Boston, man.
Boston and then Brooklyn, you know, obviously a part of that Brooklyn – that fun Brooklyn Exodus trade that's still paying dividends, like still happening, you know, 6 years later.
Jason Terry in Boston, I think everybody is going to remember the LeBron jump over him.
Yeah, oh, totally. But he's also like one of the earlier kind of maybe Jamal Crawford is another name, I think, like where those like early Seattle, you know, kind of putting that like Seattle basketball scene.
For sure.
On the map and doing big things for them. But yeah, no, I think Jason Terry was an awesome, awesome player. Great career. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He just never made an All-Star team. But I guess, you know, he had his best individual statistics scoring year in Atlanta early in his career. So 2001, he was getting 19 points a game. And then after that, he ends up on, you know, a couple years later on Dallas, and he kind of fits into that role.
Yeah, he had his early scoring years on Atlanta teams that sucked.
Yeah.
And then eventually went to Dallas.
Allison was good.
Scored almost as much on teams that were good.
And then, like, again, but you look at his career numbers, like 18,881 points, 13.4 points a game.
One of the most ever by somebody who was never an All-Star.
Yeah, like he's almost at 20,000 points. And
now, I have a few honorable mentions that I just wanted to give quick shout-outs to. We're not going to really go too deep into these players. Another Sixth Man of the Year, though. The first one, the guy who has scored the most points while never being named an All-Star is Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, I'm huge. Always been a Jamal Crawford fan.
Yeah.
Much love to
Jamal Crawford. Amazing handle.
Yeah.
That microwave.
Doesn't need anything to get going. You put him in the game at any time, and he's contributing scoring quickly on any team. And unfortunately, like, he's played on some decent teams, he's played on some bad teams, but anytime he's in the game, he is doing good things for your team.
I don't know if I'd go that far, Jason.
I liked it.
But he's fun. The other player I wanted to mention is Eddie Johnson, a guy I see constantly on Twitter.
Eddie Johnson was type.
He's the second highest scoring player to have never been named an All-Star. Had some really good years initially with the Kansas City Kings, and then was with the Rockets for a while, putting up numbers. Really good shooter. Just never ended up making an All-Star team. Three more current players who I gave a little bit of thought to. Andre Miller, somebody who during his early days in Cleveland putting big numbers on the board.
Yeah.
Always a guy who was really solid.
Always up there in assists.
Yeah. And just tough as hell.
Yeah.
People should go and look up the game that got Andre Miller suspended and broke his consecutive game streak. Thank you, Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
So Blake Griffin was elbowing Andre Miller. Andre Miller gives like a Usain Bolt sprint and knocks Blake Griffin on his ass. It was nothing. Luckily, nobody was hurt except Andre Miller's consecutive game streak. So thanks, Blake.
Hey, no Vinny Segrini anyway, so don't even try.
Yeah. Andre was trying, man.
Nobody should try.
We'll never know, Jason.
Thanks to load management, nobody's trying. AC Green forever.
We'll never know. We love Andre.
I love Andre Miller too. He's great.
Yeah, man. That 50-point game.
Oh, he was like on the Blazers. He was like, he was a really good player.
Monte Ellis. Never made an All-Star game. Had a bunch of high-scoring seasons at a time. I'm lucky to have never been on this side, but there was an argument among NBA Draft.net message board, at the very least, and I hear in other parts of the world, where it was between Monte. They knew Monte Ellis and Steph Curry couldn't necessarily coexist. So there was a debate, Monte Ellis or Steph Curry. I was luckily on the side of Stephen Curry. I think that ended up being the right choice.
But Monte Ellis, I'll always go back to that We Believe team.
Oh, yeah. Very fun player.
Yeah.
And had some great scoring years. Certainly was in the conversation, just never ended up making it. Another player who, when you're talking about We Believe, Jason Richardson. He's my last honorable mention. A guy that I always thought was going to make an All-Star team, could, you know, volume
shoot. Was always part of the weekend.
Yeah.
He did the dunk contest, yeah.
He was. Good point. Dunk contest
regular.
I'm sure he was in some three-point contests as well. He won MVP of the rookie game 1 year also. It was he and Gilbert Arenas, I think, in back-to-back years.
Okay, because, yeah, Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert with the face, throwing off Carlos Boozer's head. And, he could have – Jason Richardson was somebody who I always felt was in contention, or at least would have had a chance. Yeah. Just never ended up making it.
But you look – I mean, again, are you getting in over – Kobe, T-Mac, like, you think about a lot of those guys that are your peers. It's like, it's tough to see where those guys get those spots, but it's no slight on them or their careers there. But
yeah, Jason Richardson was a constant Western Conference guy also.
Yeah.
And again, like with a lot of these players, not necessarily like considered the best player on their team.
Yeah.
That usually, what I meant to say our very first ever episode was that if it's between a perennial or multi-time All-Star or somebody vying for their first All-Star game, you usually go with the consistency of that perennial All-Star.
And again, like part of the All-Star game in its lures, unfortunately, it's not the best players on the court, in the game. It's also, it can be a little bit of a career lifetime achievement type thing for certain players towards the end.
Yeah. And those guys usually are on winning teams or doing something.
Yeah, like totally. But, it's like, again, it's like you just kind of want to pay homage to them, and it's for the fans and yada, 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 and television and money and stuff. But I have no problem with that, That's
– Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see those dudes out there. When Michael Jordan was on Washington, that last All-Star game was so good, but was Michael Jordan one of the best players in the league? At that moment? No, not really.
Oh, that was a complete homage.
Yeah, and then it was he came out there.
Dirk and D. Wade was a complete homage too, but yeah. Obviously that was a career achievement. At least with Dirk and D. Wade, they just gave him an extra roster spot. Michael Jordan just was, thrown on that team because everybody knew that was his last year.
Yeah, it was the last year. You got to put him on a team. He's got to start.
I think 57 shots during the game, made 9. It went to at least a couple overtime.
Yeah, he hit the shot over Sean Marion, and And that's why, I'm cool with Dwayne Wade making it that last time in Dirk, because it's just it's cool to see Flash.
And Vince Carter also happily gave up his spot for Michael Jordan in the starting lineup. I remember watching
that. I'm sure that conversation went very well.
Yeah. It was right in the midst of Vince being traded to New Jersey, and people had questioned whether he deserved to make the team that year. Whatever. It happened. It's not the NBA's proudest moment, but that was still a cool All-Star game. Michael, I remember Michael also like hit like a clutch shot in it, but
yeah, well, that's why. Like,
you know, Kevin Garnett was just like, screw this, and West won. but yeah, so these were our 10 great players, never to make an all-star team. Let us know if you could think of any others who were deserving. Again, we're not using like younger guys, so
like a lot of younger guys, like they still have time to make that happen. So don't call us out on someone like we did put Ja Morant on this list. It's like, well, because he's a rookie, Zion is a rookie. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, we're
not including guys who certainly have like an opportunity in the next few years to make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if things would have went right this year, probably would have. And Zion Williamson. But yeah, thank you for stopping by, listening to the podcast. Jason, have anything going on?
I do not, because I am still safer at home. So we are going to be here every week giving you guys something new. So if you have any ideas or anything you want to see, want to hear us talk about, we tell you we're not going to consider it, but we actually will. Let us know. Any other players that you like that you think should have just made an all-star just because you think they're cool, let us know. Subscribe. If you're on iTunes, leave us a review. Leave us a good review.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Even if it has constructive criticism.
If it has constructive criticism, I will change the jerseys in the back except the Damon Stoudemire's. Those stay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just the way that the world works now is it's on streams. And if you like our podcast, you like what we're doing, or you like us in general.
Yeah.
We would very much appreciate your likes, your reviews, everything along those lines. For everybody that has supported the podcast so far, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you.
And, we're just going to try and give you some really good basketball content. We're going to eventually have some guests coming on. And just appreciate you for riding with Viseland.
Yeah, and if you have any guests that you think, you know, like you're best friends with Michael Jordan and you think he wants to come on, also let us know as well.
Yeah.
We'll do the Last Dance Part 2.
Not sure that's happening, but if it did, all ears if it did.
Yeah.
And, we've been very happy with the response so far. We'll see you next time for a new chapter of the Viseland podcast.
Perfect. Take it easy, everybody.